This is Dr. Gino Cassieri from Andersonville Baptist Seminary. As we continue our study in the course entitled The Doctrine of Christ, last time we were together, we began lesson number 8 entitled The Character of Christ. And we just have 2 points on our outline that we want to look at under the character of Christ. Point G, Jesus Christ was humble. Let's look at that. Jesus was both meek and humble, according to Matthew chapter 11. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. Again, we're looking at the character of Christ, and we see that, according to the Word of God, that Jesus Christ was indeed very humble and meek. Amen. And in Matthew chapter 11, in verse number 29, Matthew 11:29. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." He was humble, for he sought not his own glory, but the Father's glory. Amen. Look with me in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, for a moment. John, chapter 8. And in John, chapter 8, we want to look at one verse, verse number 50 in John 8. In John 8, 50, Jesus said, He says, and I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Jesus said, "I seek not my own glory." What he had came was for the glory of the Father, amen, not for his own glory. The Savior shunned publicity and fabulous advertising which caters to pride. The humility of Jesus allowed him to associate with publicans and sinners. In Luke chapter 15, in verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." We see also that the humility of Jesus kept him silent under outrageous charges. First, in the Old Testament, let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, and we want to look at verse number 7. Isaiah 53, verse number 7. The Bible tells us this. In the context, Isaiah the prophet is speaking about Jesus Christ. "He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." And then we see in 1 Peter, in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse number 23, we read, again speaking of Christ in the context, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." So when he was reviled, amen, he didn't revile back. When he suffered, he didn't threaten back. When he was threatened, he didn't threaten back, amen. He just took it calmly, amen. Jesus demonstrated his humility by washing the disciples' feet, and thereby giving us an example, not an ordinance to follow, but just a great example of how to be humble, amen, towards one another, amen. Looking in John chapter 13, John chapter 13, in verses 4 and 5. "And he riseth from supper, and lay aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And of course, speaking of Jesus Christ, as he washed the disciples' feet. Amen. Again, we're looking at lesson number 8, the character of Christ. We're seeing how we're looking at verses that show that one of the characters of Christ was Jesus Christ was humble. Philippians 2:8. Let's turn there. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8. A great verse on the humility of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Bible tells us concerning Jesus, in being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, and praise God, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and paid the price for our sins. Because if he did not humble himself, dear friend, then we'd be on our way to hell right now, someday when we died. Because payment wouldn't have been made for your sin and my sin, amen. Let's conclude now this lesson number 8 on the character of Christ with some concluding remarks. Again, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, we're told, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let us not imitate, my friend, but reproduce the holiness, the love, compassion, meekness, and humility of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To be like Jesus, not only outwardly, but more importantly, inwardly. Pure, true, prayerful as he is. My dear friend, he longs to live this life of character again in us as we yield ourselves to him. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 as we conclude our lesson 8 on the character of Christ. Romans 6. We need to yield our members to him, amen. In Romans 6, verse 19, we're told in Romans 6, verse 19, we're to yield our members to him as servants to righteousness, unto holiness. So that concludes our lesson 8. The character of Christ. We saw that Christ was holy. He was loving. We saw his love for souls. We saw that he was compassionate. We saw that he was prayerful. He was meek. He was humble. Amen. Now we want to begin a brand new lesson in our study on the doctrine of Christ. And that's lesson number 9, entitled The Teachings of Christ. The Teachings of Christ. We see here under that, we'll have an introduction, and then an A, and then in point B, we'll have Jesus' teaching about salvation. Point C, we'll see Jesus' teaching about daily Christian living. Point D, we'll look at Jesus' teaching about Pharisees and false teachers. Point E, we'll see Jesus' teaching about stewardship. Point F, we'll see Jesus' teaching about heaven and hell. Point G, we'll see Jesus' teaching about fruit-bearing. And point H, we'll see Jesus' teaching on prophecy. And then we'll have, in point I, some concluding remarks. So let's begin the teaching, lesson number 9, the teachings of Christ. Now, in this lesson, we attempt to summarize the main teachings of Christ while on earth. Christ, in his earthly ministry, gave 3 long discourses. Number 1, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Number 2, the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapters 24 and 25. And number 3, the Discourse in the Upper Room, John chapters 13 to 16, and probably chapter 17 also, plus many other shorter messages. Someone has said that Jesus touched on 18 subjects in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, in verses 28 and 29, the Bible tells us, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Now then we see in Luke chapter 4, the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, people were amazed at his teaching, amen? Because he didn't have any formal schooling, amen? And he knew the Word of God like no one else had ever known it, had ever proclaimed it. Luke chapter 4 and verse 32. Again, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." And then in Luke chapter 4, verse 22, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." In some ways, his teachings were new, revolutionary, and contrary to human reasoning. Amen. Now we want to look at, we've concluded the introduction on the teaching of Christ. Now let's move on to point B, Jesus' teaching about salvation. In his conversation with Nicodemus, he told him that he had to be born again. And of course, we saw that great conversation that he had with Nicodemus in John chapter, the Gospel of John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We'll look at a few verses here and I'll comment on them. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now here we have Nicodemus, a very religious Jew, a Pharisee, a very well-educated Jew in the laws, amen, the Old Testament law, the Mosaic laws. And he comes to Jesus, and he says, "We know there's something different about you." He calls him Rabbi, Master, because he said no man can do these miracles except God be with him. So here we have a very religious, very educated Jew come to Jesus. But Jesus wasn't impressed. Notice what he says to this man, this religious Jew. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen. He said in verse 5, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He told Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again. Not a physical birth, but more importantly, a spiritual birth." And that still holds true for today. Amen. Your birth, your earthly birth, your physical birth to Christian parents won't save you. Amen. No, individually, a person has to be born from above. They have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And when they believe on that, and that alone to save them from their sins and going to a sinner's hell, then they are born again. Then they enter into the kingdom of God, a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom that is within, not without, that you can't see by observation. Amen. We see in John chapter 4, in his talk with the Samaritan woman, he made her thirsty for himself, the living water. And in John chapter 6, Jesus revealed himself as the true bread that could satisfy true soul hunger. And in Luke chapter 7, let's turn there, Luke chapter 7. In Luke 7, in verses 47 and 48, Luke chapter 7, verses 47 and 48, we see, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven." Here in Luke chapter 7 and verses 47 and 48, Jesus taught that he had the power to forgive sins of the penitent. In John chapter 10, the discourse on the Good Shepherd, Jesus revealed that he was the only door to salvation, that no man could be saved except through him. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, we read this. In John chapter 10, Jesus said in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Then in Matthew chapter 11, in verses 28 to 30, Jesus gave an invitation for laborers and weary laden to come to him for salvation and soul rest. Matthew chapter 11 with me, please. Let's look at that great invitation that's still available to all that will come to Jesus today. Matthew chapter 11 and 28, verses 28 to 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Oh, my dear friend, if you've never come to Jesus, won't you come to him right now? You're heavy laden in your sin. Amen. Give it to him. Turn it over to him. He's promised to give you rest. Amen? He's promised that his servitude with serving Jesus, he says, "For my yoke is easy." Serving Jesus is easy. And he says, "My burden is life." Oh, yes. Living for Jesus is a lot easier than living for your world, for the flesh and the devil. We see that the wonderful salvation invitation is further expanded in Luke chapter 14 and verses 16 to 24 to include the wanderers on the highways and byways, the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Let's turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verses 16 through 24. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. He's inviting all to come to partake of this supper of salvation. Won't you come if you've never come? Come as you are, as he says. And then again, as we conclude this teaching about salvation, we see the best loved of all salvation stories in the recovery of the prodigal son in Luke 15. Now let's move on as we're looking at lesson number 9 on the teachings of Christ. We just saw Jesus teaching about salvation. Now let's look at point C, Jesus teaching about daily Christian living. Well, in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5 and verses 33 to 48, we won't turn there, but we are taught not to swear, we are taught to turn the other cheek, and we're taught to love our enemies. And then in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4, and then in verses 19 through 21, we're taught about giving. What does Jesus say about giving? It's to be done in secretly. It's to be done in secret. People shouldn't know, amen, what we're doing, right? Amen. Let's turn to Matthew 6 at this time. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, in verses 1 through 4, Matthew 6. He says, Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing. Let it not, he says here, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So my dear friend, he says that our giving is to be done in secret. Because if it's done in the open, everybody knows about it. You've received your reward already on this earth. But if you do it, amen, privately, so others don't know about it, it's an eternal investment, amen, that you'll reap in heaven someday. Then Jesus says in verses 19 through 21 of that same chapter of Matthew, chapter 6, he says, Lay not up yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where are you laying up treasures, amen? It says, not upon this earth, where they'll rust and corrode, and where the moths will eat them, and the robber can come and steal them, but lay them up in heaven, when none of these things can happen to it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Jesus gives some very specific teachings about giving in our daily Christian life. Jesus taught a great deal also about prayer. Amen. We see many references in Matthew, for example, Matthew chapter 6, in verses 5 through 13. In Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. In John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. In John chapter 16, verses 23 to 24. Again, let me give you those references on prayer. Jesus taught a great deal about prayer. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And John, chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. And basically, to summarize his teaching on prayer, Jesus teaches us that it is to be done in secret, it's to be continuous, and it's to be unlimited in scope and power. Jesus also taught that we must forgive others before he will forgive us. Let's see that. Let's look at Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then also, we see in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 23 and 24. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Jesus said, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and their remembrance that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So Jesus clearly taught that we must forgive others before he will forgive us. We also see, as again we're looking at Jesus' teaching about daily living, we see that Jesus, through his example, taught us, he practiced fasting and he taught it, amen. He taught fasting and he practiced it, amen. We see, looking in Matthew chapter 6 again, in verses 6 through 18. Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18. Moreover, when ye fast, Jesus said, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, when you fast, you don't go broadcasting or be putting on this sad look like, oh, I'm going through this terrible thing, I got to fast. No. He's saying these people that do these hypocrites already have their reward because they've done it openly. Verse 17, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Again, just as our giving is to be in secret or privately, so is in our fasting. And if we'll do it, God, who sees it, will reward us openly. Amen. Then we see that he also fasted before temptation. Remember that time after his baptism, he was led by the Spirit up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? We read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 2, "But being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." He fasted. Amen. We see there before the temptation. Jesus also cautioned against setting our affections on the necessities of life, but taught that these daily needs of food, shelter, and clothing would be provided by the Lord if we first sought the kingdom of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 in verses 25 to 34. If only we would remember these, my dear friends, this teaching about not to worry, amen, or setting our affections and our whole waking hours thinking about how we're going to, you know, meet our daily needs of food, shelter, and clothing, but to just seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we'd only do that as Christians, we'd be less anxiety-filled and troubled-filled and worried-filled. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you," Jesus is speaking, "take no thought for your life, for what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, nor yet for your body, for what shall ye put on? Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take your thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither or all shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You know, he concludes and he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Just be concerned with the day at hand. Amen. So then we see that Jesus also taught that it was necessary to confess Christ as Lord openly. Look with me in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 and 33. Jesus said, but this is in Matthew 10 verses 32 and 33. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." And then also in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 9 with me. The Gospel of John, chapter 9. And in John chapter 9, in verse number 38, John 9, 38. We read, and Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they might which and they that which see might be made blind." Amen. And that was John chapter 9 verse 38. Now Jesus also instructed his converts to go home and witness to their relatives first. And it's true to us. Amen. How many of us today, those listening, taking this course, even myself, have lost relatives? Jesus instructed those to go home and witness to their relatives first. Looking in Mark chapter 5 with me. Mark chapter 5 with me right now. Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 5, we want to look at verse number 19. Mark 5, verse Mark 5, verse number 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. And this, of course, was the man that he had cast out, the devil. And he told him, and howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. So Jesus instructed this man to go home and tell his friends and tell his family, amen, how God had worked mightily in his life. And we're to do the same, amen, to tell our relatives, to tell our friends how Jesus Christ has saved us from going to hell, has saved us from our sins, amen, and how they can have a changed life and how they can be blessed of God, amen, and know when they die that they're going to heaven. Jesus' teaching also rang with assurance of salvation to the saved. Look at in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, in verse 16, John 3:16, a very famous verse of Scripture, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, Jesus said that whoever believeth on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And then in verse 18 of John 3, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Amen. You're not condemned. You'll not die and go to hell if you believed on Jesus Christ. Amen. And then in verse 36 of John 3, we read, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus said, he that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, everlasting life. And then we read, one more place, in John chapter 5, in verse 24, we read, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense again, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a glorious promise, amen. Jesus taught assurance, eternal security of all that are saved, amen. A great deal of the Upper Room Discourse speaks of the ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who guides, conducts, energizes, and strengthens the believer. We find this in John chapter 14, the great teaching on the Holy Spirit by Jesus himself. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus here is telling about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, a Comforter, another name for the Holy Spirit, and that when he came, that he would abide in the believer forever. Amen. We're told in Scripture, amen, Paul wrote that the Spirit of God seals us unto the day of redemption. Amen. Verse 17 of John 14, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be with you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come with him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And then he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So we see that he had a lot to say about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He said how the Comforter, Jesus taught how the Comforter would guide the believer, would conduct and energize and strengthen the believer. Amen. Then finally, one last thing we want to see Jesus teaching about daily living is Jesus did not promise his believers and disciples an easy time, but mentioned persecution freely and promised health and grace for every trial. Let's look in John chapter 16, 1 through 6. These things, Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither goeth. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And then we read in Luke chapter 12. But he ends that before we go to Luke 12, I want to look at again in John 16. We read in verse 31 of John 16, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, what a great teaching Jesus gives us. Oh, we're going to, because of him, we'll receive persecution. But he's promised us that we're going to overcome, that we're going to have good cheer, because he has overcome the world. Let's turn to Luke 12 now. Luke chapter 12 with me. In Luke 12, we read, in Luke 12, verses 11 and 12, and when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. So Jesus teaches, yes, as believers, amen, we're going to receive persecution if we live for him like we should. But he said not to worry, because he's going to provide that grace that's sufficient for us to meet every day, to meet every challenge, to meet every trial, to meet every persecution, my dear friend. Yes, he didn't promise his believers and disciples an easy time. Amen. He told us like it would be. But I'll tell you, for what we experience down in this life, the glory that we receive with him in the next is going to far surpass anything that we experience down here. Well, we still have more to look at and to go through for our lesson number 9 on the teachings of Christ. And when we meet again, we'll pick up our lesson number 9 on the teachings of Christ, and we'll look at Jesus' teaching about Pharisees and false teachers. So this will end tape number 5, side 2.